A Spring Sentiment,
A Pride and Prejudice Novella Variation, Chapter 3. Elizabeth Bennet skipped down the three flattish stones that she considered to be the steps of Oakham Mount. The morning was bright and cool with the scent of dew in the air. She had absconded from her aunt's home for a much-needed escape. The smokestacks of Longbourn puffing in the distance, she felt tears well up as she greatly missed her former life. Coming back to Hertfordshire was a daily trial in keeping her emotions regulated, and living a life in limbo between pitied orphan and married woman was doing little to quell her inner turmoil. The familiar sound of horse hooves thundering down the road made Elizabeth smile in spite of herself. Last night at the disastrous Netherfield dinner, she and her betrothed had made a tenuous agreement to meet surreptitiously. Hastily, she wiped her eyes of any sign of tears and pinched her chilled cheeks for good measure. The horse slowed as it neared, and she heard the rider jump down from the mount. As she turned, her bonnet was caught in a February gust and fell to hang around her neck. She giggled at Mr. Darcy's sudden gasp at her undress, covering her mouth with a gloved hand.
"Good morning, Mr. Darcy. What a delight to encounter you during my morning walk."
Elizabeth bowed her head into a curtsy. "Well, at least this time you're not falling out of a tree." Darcy linked his arm with hers as poor Poseidon once again was forced to endure their human pace.
"Jumping, William, I jumped out of that tree."
She looked up at him without the intrusion of her bonnet and laughed. "And I make no promises as to the future inspection of trees at Pemberley, sir." After a moment, Darcy cleared his throat. "I may be able to show you one or two great climbers." He looked down and winked at her, causing Elizabeth to blush and bump into his side for his tease with her hip. As the turn for Longbourn came, the two continued to walk on past, and Darcy noticed Elizabeth's shoulders tensing. "I believe, madam, that we have yet to discuss our nuptials, and while I would prefer they had occurred yesterday, perhaps we had better agree upon a date." Elizabeth sighed. She did wish to discuss these matters as they dined at Netherfield, but with the day's dawning, she wasn't sure what to say with everything up in the air regarding her family. Should she marry before Lydia? Would that make the gossip worse? Would it be best to wait a full year from her father's passing? Where would her mother and sisters live? "I am afraid you've caught me once again unsure of my wishes, though I know I baited you almost past your patience last evening. What are your thoughts, sir?" Darcy couldn't believe his ears. As he slowed his walk, Poseidon's muzzle bumped into his back, reminding him to march on.
"I'm sure Reverend Willoughby would do an admirable job."
Elizabeth frowned. "No, I cannot say I desire to be married from home."
Gritting his teeth, Darcy responded that clearly she did have wishes he was at a loss to postulate.
"Truly, I did not have a preference until you mentioned the possibility. But the idea of being married in the church where I grew up, where I was baptized, with my father out in the—" "Forgive me, I did not consider," Darcy began, as Elizabeth stubbornly swiped at tears that would not cease. "I'm afraid this maudlin mood appears far too often these days, and without my approval." Elizabeth took a deep breath and blew it out. The tension in her neck and shoulders began to release. "Perhaps I was too hasty, William. I would like to see my mother settled, and then we can return to London. My aunt and Uncle Gardiner are most important to me. London would be the easiest ceremony for our families to attend."
Darcy raised an eyebrow at his beautiful future wife. "Are you certain you would like things to be unsettled until then?"
"I can mount Poseidon as we speak, and hie to London for a special license. At your command, of course, Elizabeth."
Laughing, Elizabeth shook her head.
She stopped their progress and tentatively raised an arm to touch not Mr. Darcy, but Poseidon. The horse snorted into her gloved hand, but allowed her to stroke his muzzle. "As much as I know this gentleman would fancy a great gallop, I'm afraid I'm a bit partial to his rider. I do not think I could bear to be separated." Her eyes looked up to meet his, and for a moment, the haunting loneliness they both carried was acknowledged. Poseidon's whinny broke the spell, and now coming up on Aunt Philip's home, they could hear the sounds of the rising Bennet family. A stable boy bounded up to take the reins of Poseidon and lead him away. Before they could walk in, Elizabeth held back. "I have a request, and I was wondering if you might be willing." "That is..." Elizabeth nibbled on her bottom lip as she worried how he might take this solicitation, given they were not yet married. "Miss Elizabeth Bennet, you need only ask. If it is within my power, I shall make it so. Mr. Darcy said gallantly in his Master of Pemberley voice, that she had once mistaken to mean he was so proud. There is a maid employed at Netherfield, and with our future plans including travel to London and beyond, I would very much like her by my side. Darcy smiled as he recalled the young maid at Netherfield. Ah, Becky, say no more. I believe that an excellent idea, and I will discuss the particulars with Bingley. As long as Miss Bingley does not become acquainted with the details, I do not anticipate a problem for the maid to travel with us to London. Elizabeth sighed her relief, and together they entered a home in a complete uproar. Lizzie Bennet, there you are. Oh, good morning, Mr. Darcy. Mrs. Bennet snapped at Elizabeth, but modulated her tone to greet her future son-in-law. Lydia and Kitty are both ill. What a day for the girls to fall ill, when we are to view the two properties most graciously selected by Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley. Don't those girls have more sense? Elizabeth tried tempering her mother's bluster. Mama, I'm sure Lydia and Kitty do not mean to be ill. Elizabeth and Darcy followed Mrs. Bennet to the table for breakfast. Elizabeth greeted her Aunt Phillips and invited Darcy to join them with a wave of her hand. Her mother hovered before taking the seat Mr. Darcy had readied for her. The day is ruined, and I was so looking forward to viewing the properties. I suppose we shall have to trespass upon you, dear sister, a little while longer. Mrs. Bennet reached and took the cup of tea Elizabeth had just prepared for Mr. Darcy. Yet wary of provoking yet more of her onslaught, silently Elizabeth turned to prepare another cup of tea. For her part, Aunt Phillips blanched and resumed focus on her toast. Darcy cleared his throat. While I am sorry to hear that Miss Lydia and Miss Kitty are indisposed, I do not think there is any harm in allowing your remaining daughters to escort you to the properties, Mrs. Bennet. I do not believe the younger ladies will have the wisdom of your experience in running a household, and it is that experience that will be most helpful in selecting a suitable property. Mrs. Bennet sat up straighter and batted her eyelashes at Mr. Darcy, causing Elizabeth to roll her eyes behind her mother. She caught Mr. Darcy's gaze and smirked as the two of them shared an unspoken communication. The sooner Fanny Bennet was settled, the sooner they could be on their way to London. Lady Matlock rang the bell, and the red door to Darcy House opened to admit her entrance. She allowed the butler to remove her wrap and cocked her head to one side to hear the delightful sounds of young women laughing above. Shaking her head, she made a shooing motion with her hands to Mr. Marlborough to eschew a formal announcement. Instead, the grand lady ascended the steps to the main floor and stopped just outside the music room. "You've much improved, Mary. Play that trill again." Mary Bennet furrowed her brow, her tongue slightly peeking from between her tightly pulled lips. With great effort, she repeated the complicated Mozart piece and ended with a flourish. "Oh, bravo, bravo!" Lady Matlock clapped from the doorway and finally entered. Mary folded her hands into her lap and blushed while Georgiana smiled and greeted her aunt. "You ladies have been busy. Good for you, Miss Mary." "Thank you, m'lady." Mary did not seek out Lady Matlock's gaze, but instead kept her eyes on the pianoforte. "What brings you here, aunt? Are we to go shopping?" Georgiana Darcy perked up and followed her aunt to the settee. Lady Matlock took a seat and looked Mary Bennet up and down. Yes, the young woman's attire had greatly improved from the first time they'd met, but her confidence was grievously lacking. Lady Matlock clucked her tongue at her own thoughts. "Aunt?" Georgiana looked confused until she followed her aunt's gaze to Mary and then looked back at the older woman. "I have decided that while Fitzwilliam is off running around in your home county, Miss Mary, and my own son is running around doing who knows what for the War Office, I have a need for company. I would like to invite you and my niece to come stay at Matlock House for a few weeks, so we may become better acquainted." "Oh, aunt, that sounds lovely. What do you think, Mary? Aunt Maggie's house is wonderful. There's a larger garden and we can work on, well, you know." Lady Matlock gave Mary an amused look. "What are you two plotting?" Mary sucked in her breath, then answered, "At home, we made our own rose water and lavender balm. I was hoping to make a set for my sister for her wedding." Lady Matlock laughed. "Oh dear, we can simply buy those in Mayfair?" "Yes, m'lady, we could." Mary struggled for a moment out of fear of offending Lady Matlock, but decided her honesty would be welcome. "But I believe my sister will appreciate the effort." "Oh yes, of course she will. What do we need for this little aromatic adventure? Bottles, presses?" Georgiana and Mary looked at each other and grinned. With Lady Matlock on their side, they could make the wedding gift doubly fine.